The United States is teaming up with NATO allies and partner countries in Eastern Europe for training exercises and logistics collaboration. Now, these exercises take place frequently, but now there's added tension, namely sustained aggression from Russia against the Ukraine. The U.S. actions fall under a strategy umbrella called Operation Atlantic Resolve. Major General Walter Piatt is Deputy Commanding General of Army Europe and Commander of Army NATO. He's standing by now with Emily Kopp at the Association of the U.S. Army Expo. Emily.
Thanks, Tom. And General, great to have you with us. No, this is such a different interview than we would have maybe had a year ago. Can you just explain the changes from the ground in Europe because of everything that's been going on in the Ukraine and elsewhere?
Well, I think fortunately, even a year ago, we saw this coming. What would be the requirement for army forces in Europe post-Afghanistan? And we realized that we would have to learn and better, you know, integrate better with our NATO partners. And we started this, you know, well over a year and a half ago, conducting exercises to build that multinational capacity for the collective defense of Europe. And I think that that has paid huge dividends, given the current security situation there. But currently we have ongoing Operation Atlantic Resolve. Since April, we deployed paratrooper units from the 173rd Airborne Brigade from Vicenza, Italy, into the Baltic states of Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, and Poland. And we're about ready to change them out now. We have a unit coming over from Fort Hood, Texas. It's our regionally aligned force. It's also the NATO response force. And they come over twice a year to conduct exercises that build the NATO interoperability that's required. But now they're coming over to assume that mission of Operation Atlantic Resolve and at the same time conduct a huge exercise called Combined Resolve 3. So it's the third exercise in this series of NATO interoperability building exercises we're conducting.
And specifically, what is the U.S. Army doing in Ukraine, or how directly is the U.S. Army involved in what's happening in Ukraine?
Well, Ukraine's always been a partner. We have trained with them many times over the years. We just completed an exercise in western Ukraine focused on, you know, really the interoperability, mission command, those types of things, logistics, things that they still need. I mean, they're in conflict in the east, obviously. But they also know that they must still continue to build the readiness of their forces for the future. So we continue to provide them assistance with training we have for a very long time. And it will give them the capabilities, hopefully help them with the capabilities and training that they'll be able to do to resolve the conflict in their country.
When we talk about exercises in Afghanistan or Iraq, you know, you always think about the U.S. military building up the partner from scratch, basically. And that's not what you've had to do in Europe. But what is the state of your partners' militaries there and their capabilities so that ideally they wouldn't need U.S. help?
Well, I think we're a member of the alliance. So I think together we are strong. Independently, we're not. And that goes for the United States as well. I think we all saw that post-Afghanistan, we were training to meet a known demand. And every country, we're sending forces there to contribute to the requirement in Afghanistan. But we also saw that there was a need for, you know, post-Afghanistan, the security in a very complex environment in Europe and the surrounding countries that surround Europe to protect Europe's economy, to protect our interests in Europe. We needed to make sure that we were doing our part as a member of the alliance to contribute to the collective defense. And we saw that is to support the Secretary General's vision of Connected Forces Initiative, that U.S. would play a leading role in connecting forces by through connected training initiative that U.S. Army Europe developed and helped led. So we knew that we didn't know where the next conflict would be, but we knew we wouldn't do it alone, that we would do it together. And if we're going to deploy together, we need to train and live and get to know each other pre-conflict so that when we're forces required, we're trained and ready to go as a truly collective defense and a truly powerful multinational formation.
How do you get to know each other?
Well, you live there. We're neighbors. And that's what's so important about having U.S. Army forces in Europe, because you can't surge trust, you know, and our location really matters, because now they're not just allies. They're our friends. And I've always said that, you know, nations don't have relationships. You know, people do. And you have to get to know them. So these militaries are not just other people in different uniforms. They are really our friends, and we have trained together under some very difficult and realistic conditions. And the harder we can make those conditions, the better we're trained, but also more powerful that relationship becomes. And we found out so much that, you know, we're much more alike than we are different. We all have many great capabilities, military capabilities, but every nation has something they can contribute. And by getting their capabilities to their highest level capable readiness, and you put all those forces together, you get a strong, capable force that can meet the collective defense requirements of Europe.
Over the years, there have been questions as to whether NATO is a relic of a past war or is still needed today. Assess the strength of NATO, and how has it changed over the past few months?
Well, I think people realize that the alliance is required. I think events in Eastern Europe have shown that. When you go to the Baltic states and you go to Estonia and Lithuania and Latvia, they deeply appreciate the U.S.'s commitment and also the commitment of NATO. They understand that they can't do this alone, that being a member of alliance matters. I mean, these economies are growing, their democracies are flourishing. But they also know that that somebody is there for them, and we're committed. And I think we've seen that. I mean, the president has made a big promise to reassure the alliance that he will commit U.S. dollars to helping making sure we'll have that strategic access and readiness for the future. And he's also gone to Estonia to give a speech. And we were in Estonia when he came, and the people there really, really understand that the United States is committed to this alliance, and nothing says it better than the President of the United States coming personally to that country and saying so.
We're speaking with Major General Walt Piatt. He is Deputy Commanding General of Army Europe and Commander of Army NATO. Let's talk a little bit about money. Now, how has your troop strength changed with the budget in Europe, and what has sequestration required you to do?
Well, first of all, we've been executing the European infrastructure consolidation. That was by design to reduce the force structure in Europe based on, you know, the situation. And those large amounts of U.S. forces were no longer required. And
it was like a European BRAC.
Right. And so we executed that, very well executed, very well funded, and we saved the government a lot of money, and we will save our government a lot of money in the future. But we also have a very efficient force there. By training with the alliance, we have created a very, very ready and relevant force that will meet the security demands of Europe. So this is a good news story, and it was part of the plan. But where it really hurts, I think the effects of sequestration, if it continues, the manning requirements in our Army and what the decisions our department will have to make obviously are going to affect commands all over. And our Chief of Staff has spoken very clearly about that, that if we don't get a budget and it continues to play out, that these manning levels may go further down, that we may not be able to meet our requirements for defense globally. So that's part of our mission, is to provide a ready force that can meet global requirements. So there is concern, and there's also concern of the lack of dollars that we'll be able to invest in modernization today, so that in the future, in 20 years from now, we're still a relevant force, that we're not dealing with old equipment. But we're also able to build on the experience that we have. One thing that is good about being in Europe is the allies. We have a very experienced force. I think the most experienced force we've ever had in the United States, but also throughout the alliance. And working together and training together doesn't cost our governments any additional funding. So we've figured that out. We've also, by showing good quality training and realistic training environments, the alliance sees that this is beneficial to them, and it's worth their investment as well. So the alliance is paying the way. This is not just something where the U.S. taxpayer is paying for, you know, multinational training in Europe. The allies are coming, and they're willing to pay more to get this readiness, this high level of training.
On that note, the president has asked for $1 billion more for Operation Europe, for operations in Europe. How necessary is that, given these alliances and these partner nations, and what more would it let you do?
Well, I think it's very necessary. He made a commitment, and I think that one thing, by just him saying that, strengthen the alliance. The alliance understands the U.S. is committed. We're not walking away. That the pivot to the Pacific did not mean we're leaving Europe. It means that we're building a collective security in Europe, and Europe is a security provider, not a security consumer, and the United States is going to pay their portion of that. But we are asked to look at how are we able to build, continue to build interoperability within the NATO alliance. How are we able to guarantee access where we need it, strategic access? So that money is not yet approved, but we've been asked to look at various ways that will not be high-end payment that's going to require follow-on spending additional years, but ways that will be spent wisely that will allow to guarantee the interoperability we need with our alliance, be able to provide realistic, tough training so that we're ready to meet the future security demands in Europe.
Major General Walt Piatt is Deputy Commanding General of Army Europe and Commander of Army NATO. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Emily. It's good to be here.